are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, President Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, convicted on 8 counts in a plea deal. Meanwhile, President Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, convicted on 8 counts of other criminal charges. Meanwhile, the first congressional endorser of Donald Trump joins the second Trump endorser in being criminally indicted. And the top Republican on the tax committee got a yacht loan from a bank, coincidentally lobbying on the tax bill. And not to be outdone, Trump's top economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, a longtime host of a acclaimed white nationalist. Republicans introduced their latest vote suppression tactic, weaponizing the American Disabilities Act. National prison strike launches in its day two across the country. And Susan Collins announces what her weasel words will be when she votes for Brett Kavanaugh. And lastly, Mike Cernovich introduces his plans for early retirement. All this and more on today's Majority Report, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it is Wednesday, we had quite an extraordinary news day yesterday. It is pretty rare, I would say, that you see in the course of an hour two people so close to the president of the United States either being convicted or pleading to a conviction. In fact, I would say we've never seen this before in the history.
Well,
in the history of the American public, it is pretty extraordinary. And they say, you know, may you live in interesting times. I would have been perfectly happy not. I would have been fine just living in slightly more boring times. That would have been fine for me. Well, I get my thing. I'm having a little problems here with my computer for some reason.
Oh. It reminds me of how I got really into Watergate, thinking that was as exciting as politics got. And then this is sort of like, you know, it's like the steroid era of baseball.
Yeah, this is it's pretty crazy. And there's the Manafort stuff is somewhat interesting. The Cohen stuff is obviously, I think, a little bit more interesting. Although both are hugely relevant, it's quite possible the Manafort stuff is actually more interesting to Mueller right now. But we will talk about that in a moment. But last night, you should know that following these announcements, right, of, and we'll talk also about the Duncan Hunter indictment of him and his wife, for something as, you know, mundane as spending campaign funds on all sorts of personal stuff. But it is pretty stunning that Donald Trump is really becoming, at best, right, this is the most generous perspective of him, as some type of like divining rod for the worst people. If they're around him or supportive of him, that's almost a prima facie case that they're corrupt.
That they're entrepreneurs.
Exactly. Corrupt entrepreneur. It's funny that you say that, because the yacht that the head of the Republican on the tax subcommittee, that he got a loan from.
Really?
Yep.
Please tell me.
It's called the entrepreneur. We'll talk about that in a moment. But
oh, that's so good.
They're corruptopreneurs.
They're corruptopreneurs. That's right. We're innovating a whole new way of basically being corrupt.
They are so.
They're disrupting the corrupt status quo.
Disrupting corruption, folks.
Last night, Donald Trump obviously hears the news about Paul Manafort. Hears the news about Michael Cohen. Heads to a rally in West Virginia, and he addresses the fact that these two men, who really, it's professionally speaking, hard to come up with more men, you know, like names out of a hat of who would be closer to him. I mean, particularly Michael Cohen. I mean, I guess I don't know who it would be. His family members. And maybe like a Corey Lewandowski, but I can't think of anyone else who would be closer, which is why you hear a story like this from Donald Trump in his rally at West Virginia last night, in perhaps in some respects addressing what went on today with Michael Cohen.
Sir, can you get this deal done immediately? I said, it doesn't work that way. I don't want to go too fast. The deal's not going to be any good if we do that. We got to take time. It's got to gestate, right? The word gestate. It's like when you're cooking a chicken. Time. Turkey for Thanksgiving. My mother would say, oh, 8 hours. I said, 8 hours? She made the greatest turkey I've ever had.
There you go.
That's kind of sweet, actually.
Yum, 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 yum.
I like when he says, I like. There's certain words like gestate.
He, I mean, on some level, there is a quality of, like, you know, he seems almost freer and more relaxed. Like it's all gonna end soon.
It's sort of a retreat to infantilism. Like, Mom makes the turkey.
Mom makes the turkey. I smell it.
Yeah, he's kind of talking in a baby voice.
Dad never.
Do you remember the first thing that Anthony Andermatt-Tuck did on the president show, where he was out on the street and a truck came by and he ran up and he started going woo woo like this, and then he talked about this fantasy how he was driving the truck and he was going to drive it across the road and it's going to go off the dock and into the water, and then the truck sinks and the water fills my lungs and then I'm at peace.
Yes.
I get the feeling that's sort of where he's at.
You know,
right
when
now.
You picture the worst thing happening and then it happens.
And then you let go.
Liberating.
There
and
you go.
Let go and you're in the void.
Well, because
you know the
says,
word void?
People are saying, like, obviously gestate doesn't mean that. It means like a pregnancy, right? But then he mentions his mother. So there's complete.
No, there's
Freudian
a Freudian dynamic
going on.
Going on.
Totally.
Mommy would make the turkey and that would be when Dad wouldn't beat me in front of a picture of Jackie Robinson.
Well, I also think that there's probably a quality of betrayal of those closest to him.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is happening on a day where Michael Cohen goes in to court and says, I committed crimes at the explicit direction of my boss. I don't know if he said the name Donald Trump. He just simply said a candidate running for president.
Hillary
now, it's possible.
Clinton.
He didn't specify.
I will tell you what. I got on the phone with Michael Cohen. And I said, here's what we're going to do. Donald Trump would normally be totally honest about this. But if we can arrange a payoff, boy, that sure will look bad. Michael Cohen did it along with the deep state and Seth Rich, which is why Sam Seder had to kill him.
So Cohen, Cohen pled guilty to 8 criminal charges. 2 of the charges are campaign finance offenses involving his payment of hush money to both Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. He admitted in court that he worked, and let me just get this quote right, in coordination with and at the direction of a candidate for federal office to make one payment. The other was made merely in coordination with the candidate. if Donald Trump were not president, but the losing candidate, and this was pursued, he would probably also be under indictment at this point. So this is a problem for him. And then the question becomes, there's an interesting question surrounding Cohen. And we should say, let's just dismiss Manafort for a second. Manafort was convicted on 8 counts, a mistrial declared on 10 others. There was a lot of folks who felt that the judge mishandled the trial in numerous respects. But it's likely to be less of an issue. 8 counts would mean Manafort could serve somewhere between 8 and 10 years in terms of federal guidelines. That will put some pressure on Manafort. He is due in court in, well, maybe about a month. It's September 17th. But he will be moving to a different jurisdiction. This one was in Virginia. Virginia, for criminal, for prosecutors, is known as a much tougher state in this, in terms of this case, because it's more conservative. Judge more conservative. Generally, your jury is going to be more conservative. They're going to be more likely to be sympathetic to Donald Trump and those folks. In Washington, D.C., where Manafort's next trial is going to be, that's not going to be the case. And the judge is not one who is going to be more sympathetic to Manafort than this past Judge Ellis. Manafort will be facing in D.C. a host of other charges unrelated to Donald Trump, per se, but dealing with the lobbying and some bank stuff that took place while he was working, during the period of time he was working for Donald Trump. So it's unclear. But the idea is that they want to put pressure on Mueller. I mean, excuse me, on Manafort. And Mueller still has more control over that case. The case involving Cohen, at least for this weekend, for yesterday, was out of the Southern District of New York. There are Trump appointees who have yet to be, as far as I know, confirmed by the Senate, who are sitting over the Southern District of New York. There's a lot of speculation. I've read where people suggest that Mueller wanted this at arm's length because he didn't want to be considered politicizing anything in the lead up to the midterm elections. There is some prosecutors have suggested that it's a little bit strange that this plea deal by Cohen came without a cooperation agreement. In other words, he just pled out on this. There was no deal like you're going to give us evidence for a different case or anything like that. None of that. This was just a straight situation where prosecutors said, hey, we're going to arrest you soon. And it's going to be on these charges. And here's the evidence we have. And Cohen decided, according to the reporting, to go in and just plead out so that his family wasn't embarrassed, so that he could have some measure of respect for himself, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this is the reporting. Whether it's true, I don't know. But that's what it appears to be. And so he goes in there. He says the stuff about this federal candidate. He didn't need to do that. He didn't need to say it was at the direction of anybody else. People took that as perhaps a sign. But again, it's very strange because Michael Cohen is out there via his attorney, Lanny Davis, virtually begging for a deal from the Mueller investigation. He doesn't have one at this point. It is unclear why. But here is Michael Cohen's attorney on the Today Show this morning, the day after Michael Cohen has pled out. And the question, some people speculated, maybe what he's doing is he's basically giving Donald Trump one last opportunity. Pardon me. You can pardon me for this, and you can pardon me for anything else. But I'm like walking up to the line about saying your name. And pardon me, but it doesn't appear like that's the case if we are to believe Lanny Davis. And I want to put all of that in quotes and asterisks and like brackets and italics, because I don't know if I believe Lanny Davis. But this is a very odd thing to say if what you're doing is trying to get a pardon.
Last question. There's one person who could make Michael Cohen's legal problems go away in an instant. It's Donald Trump. Is he hoping for a pardon from President Trump?
Not only is he not hoping for, he would not accept a pardon. He considers a pardon from somebody who has acted so corruptly as president to be something he would never accept.
Lanny Davis, thank you for your time.
I just don't know why you say that if you are not open to taking a pardon.
If you were open to taking a pardon,
it seems like a very odd thing to say.
Shockingly unequivocal. I've only heard Lonnie Davis be as unequivocal about how great Hillary Clinton or the Honduran coup government is that.
Right.
You're a bunch of disingenuous bastards.
There you go. Disingenuous bastards.
Well, that's what happens when Michael Cohen discovered the real disingenuous bastard is Donald Trump.
So part of Michael Cohen's, I guess, campaign to get a deal, and it was Lanny Davis's tour. One this morning saying that he wouldn't accept a pardon. And then last night, Lanny Davis went on Rachel Maddow's show and had this to say about what Michael Cohen could provide to a Mueller investigation. This is very important to keep in mind. There is no deal. Michael Cohen, it's almost as if Michael Cohen went in, and I've read a bunch of different speculation. Some people suggest it's possible that this was like an act of good faith. I'm going to go in, I'm going to plead guilty to this, I'm going to get locked in on charges and wait for you guys to give me a deal, which could theoretically reduce his sentencing. My understanding is that within a year from sentencing, you can strike a deal that would reduce your sentence. And what Mueller could do at this point is now give Cohen immunity. He is still on the hook for what he pled guilty for, but anything else, Mueller could now give him a blanket immunity, which, had Mueller done 2 days ago, would have had to include, theoretically, this other campaign finance violations. So this could be something to give Mueller more flexibility. It could be that they feel that Cohen has nothing to offer them, although I find that hard to believe, particularly after Lanny Davis at least saying this publicly as a way of, you don't get points for saying it publicly and then not delivering to the prosecutor. Here's Lanny Davis on Rachel Maddow last night.
Has the special counsel approached Michael Cohen already about whether he would like to speak some of that truth to their inquiry in addition to what he's just faced in SDNY?
So I can't tell you the answer to that question about contacts between Michael and the special counsel, but I can tell you that Mr. Cohen has knowledge on certain subjects that should be of interest to the special counsel and is more than happy to tell the special counsel all that he knows, not just about the obvious possibility of a conspiracy to collude and corrupt the American democracy system in the 2016 election, which the Trump Tower meeting was all about, but also knowledge about the computer crime of hacking and whether or not Mr. Trump knew ahead of time about that crime and even cheered it on. And we know he publicly cheered it on, but did he also have private information?
I mean, you're not... If I had seen that last night, I would say this is his last-ditch effort to get a pardon. But for Lanny Davis to show up the next morning and say, we're not going to accept a pardon, I mean, then that puts you, you're sitting in the White House. You said, well, I'm not going to pardon him because what if he doesn't accept it? That's going to make it look bad. So I don't know. I mean, this could be, you know, in some respects, it sort of feels like this is the final scene before the intermission.
Let the pardon gestate.
The curtains close. We're going to take an intermission. There will be actually, if you go down to the basement, we're going to be doing another small production of Paul Manafort on trial in September. But really, return here November 9th, and the fireworks will start anew. There's just no way to know.
Donald Trump shouldn't be held accountable for my organized criminal activity, and that's the position.
That's what he said. That's what I said. That's obviously what our position is.
I love that.
There you go.
The dude is a breakout. Like he's global political consulting and influence peddling is one of the most ethics-free industries on the planet, and you can legally go overseas and consult for anybody. And he was like, I'm still going to turn this into organized crime.
Now, let's go to the Greg Jarrett thing, because this just speaks a little bit to the issue with Cohen. This is the this is number three. And so Greg Jarrett is the legal guy, I guess, and they brought him into Fox and Friends. Who's that? Is that Ainsley? Ainsley Earhart. They actually sent to the lawn of the White House today to do some hardcore reporting. And but here's the issue in regards to Cohen. The question is, was the money paid off primarily or delivered to the, were these women silenced primarily for the benefit of the campaign? That is what the campaign finance criminal charges turn on. I have speculated that it's very possible it had nothing to do with the campaign. That the campaign was really secondary, that it really has to do with some type of prenup that Trump has with Melania that would cost him a ton of money if this stuff was proven through some type of, chosen threshold. If it's printed, if there are reports, I don't know. Because all the information's out there. The idea that this would have sunk Trump's campaign just seems to me to be a little bit far-fetched. The idea that, that's the only thing I can imagine. Because they continued after the election to try and silence them. But that did not, Donald Trump can't come out and say that. If he doesn't want to be subjected, and I have a feeling he's sort of feeling like prison or payout money to Melania. So I think I'll just see. I'll roll the dice.
Maybe I could give her a fake check.
Here is the Greg Jarrett on Fox and Friends making that argument.
My number one question this morning is Cohen changed his story. And yesterday, he's now saying that the president directed him to pay off these women. If that second story is true, then did the president do anything illegal?
No. Pause it for 1 second. Now, what's interesting is Cohen changed his story. In other words, he was lying when he thought he could not go to jail. And then when he realized he had to go to jail, he wanted to get a lighter sentence. So he changed his story to the truth.
Fair is fair.
I mean, why would you change your story to one that will send you to jail? Right?
That's a disingenuous question.
Let's hear Jarrett's answer.
Anything illegal?
No. There's two reasons why this is not an illegal campaign contribution. As long as there is a secondary or dual purpose, the law says it's not a campaign expense. So for the president, there would be personal and commercial reasons for paying money in exchange for a non-disclosure agreement. And the fact that he's done it in the past before he ever became a candidate only supports that argument.
I mean, that's his argument. Now, it's not he's overstating the case. It needs to be primarily. And in this instance, primarily, it's tough to argue. But the president has not argued that it's commercial and personal reasons. And that is belied by the fact, at least the personal reasons, that they pursued this, you know, they pursued it after it came out.
Can I give Melania a publisher's clearinghouse check?
So it remains to be seen if that's going to be the defense. Like, I didn't want to pay out Melania a ton of money.
She's the worst. I didn't want to pay her a ton of money.
So then Greg Jarrett goes on to Fox and Friends to basically say, look, this is all just a coincidence. How many, you know, who amongst us do not have two close personal aides who have been in one form or another convicted within an hour of each other on a host of other charges? Honestly, who amongst us can say that? And in fact, the guy who was the campaign chair was barely the campaign chair.
From here, he's looking at another trial in about 2 weeks.
Yes.
So where does he go from here? And someone in the Trump camp evidently worried that he now feel looking at 80 years in prison, perhaps will start talking about things that Donald Trump doesn't want him talking about.
Well, I don't think he has anything incriminating to say about the president because Manafort was so briefly involved in the campaign and didn't know Trump before then.
I like how he just circles it. He's just like, I'm just going to end with an absolute lie. Like, the rest of it is ludicrous. And let me just underscore it by just completely lying about the nature of Trump Manafort, who've known each other at least somewhat since the 80s.
It's a little bit strange, too, that the White House would be worried that Manafort's going to talk about something if there is nothing there. I mean,
well, you know what it's like when you make it.
People get confused. They hear things like payoffs and money laundering, and they think that it's payoffs and money laundering. Things can get confusing.
Well, it's also like, you know, like Sam's technically an intern on the Majority Report. He just gets given the hosting role just, you know, just to give him something to do.
So I haven't known him that long at all, but...
No, but that's amazing. Like, it's not an outside consultant. It's like... the chairman of the campaign is just like, oh, yeah, he was
throwaway job.
It's also like, can anyone ever really know another person? Yeah. Think about it.
You think you trust somebody?
To be honest, I thought his name was Ed Manafort for almost the entire time he was working there.
Cut forward to Greg Jarrett taking a swing at a cop in an airport. Do a Google search.
Right.
Exactly. I think Trump's showing a tremendous amount of restraint by not saying John McCain every time Paul Manafort's name comes up. Which is actually what he'd do probably if Manafort was
totally
singing
what he would
him.
Have done. He's just like, well, why don't you ask John McCain
actually,
about Manafort?
He does. Every time Manafort's name comes up, the first thing he says is he worked for Reagan
and other people. But he doesn't say McCain, and I think that is like actual restraint.
Yeah, that is actually kind of surprising. Maybe he just doesn't know.
There's a lot of people who are scrambling at this moment, and the funnest people to watch scramble are the ones who want to keep getting invited back onto cable television and know that the only way they will be, the only thing they can offer is total shamelessness in trying to pretend like there's nothing here. And look, here's the thing. And we'll get into this a little bit more. But you have to remember that the last time a president got impeached, it was for a seventh order story involved in an investigation that had absolutely zero to do. It started with an investigation about a real estate deal that took place at least a decade before the president came in office. And he was impeached for something that happened 3 years into his or 2 years into his tenure as president. It couldn't be any more far afield. It came from a supposedly through real estate deal, through a supposed murder, through supposed firings of people in the White House travel department, through all the way through that to land on the a lie told in a deposition as to what the definition of is in regards to oral sex.
Which is still a good question.
And so at the time, you had people who insisted upon impeaching this president because he was a stain on the White House, as revealed in this independent counsel. And the only thing I can ask is, where are those people today? Where are our Lindsey Grahams of yesteryear?
So the point I'm trying to make is, you don't even have to be convicted of a crime to lose your job in this constitutional republic. If this body determines that your conduct as a public official is clearly out of bounds in your role, because impeachment is not about punishment. Impeachment is about cleansing the office. Impeachment is about restoring honor and integrity to the office.
Where are our Lindsey Grahams today?
Well, I'd answer the question if you'd like an honest answer, Mr. Cynical Sam.
I would like the answer, yes.
Well, I went to Bill Clinton and I said, if you're willing to reach across the aisle and do with me one thing, I don't care where you stick a cigar, nowhere. And that one thing was a preemptive nuking of Pyongyang. And he didn't even respond to my overtures. In fact, he gave those goddamn little yellow bastards more rice bags, which kept them in power. But now Donald Trump, Mr. Trump's threatening to bomb Iran, which we're close to. He's threatened North Korea, and then he met with the fat little bastard, but we still might nuke him. And he's doing all sorts of other things overseas, which are a cleansing in a broader sense. So there's the answer to my question. You think you got me in a gotcha moment, but I got you in a national security moment.
Well,
go fuck yourself.
Touche.
Indeed.
Touche.
Mint julep, anyone?
So I don't know if we'll hear from Lindsey Graham on that. And I believe, was Rick Santorum in the Senate at this time? I don't think he was. I feel like Santorum, but Santorum equally moralizing. But he, of course, is one of these guys who wants to go on television. And really, it seems like his path to television, he was in the Senate or the House?
He was in the Senate.
He was in the Senate.
95-2007.
I bet you could find a couple of speeches from Rick Santorum as well, talking about why it was so imperative to impeach Bill Clinton. But here he is, sort of at the tail end of a career which involved multiple losses, attempts to run for president, failure to be reelected as senator of Pennsylvania at one point, and desperately holding on. I think at one point he started a film production company to do Christian movies. That seems to have not gone too well based upon what is available to the public at this point. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, you tell CNN, yeah, I'll be the guy who will pretend like this is no big deal.
I'll take a shot
at that. Go ahead. Do you see any appetite, certainly on the Republican side, for addressing this?
Well, I mean, look, there are three big stories today, two that we're talking about, the Manafort and Cohen guilty pleas and convictions. But the third story is this.
Pause it. Is the third story going to be that a Trump's first congressional endorser has been criminally indicted for misuse of campaign funds? Is it going to be that Trump's top economic advisor, Kudlow, has been a longtime host of a white nationalist? Oh, maybe it's that one about that Republican on the tax committee who got a multimillion-dollar yacht loan from a company that was lobbying on the tax bill at that time. Let's see. What could it possibly be? I mean, it's Wednesday, so there wasn't a football game yesterday where someone took a knee. I wonder what it's going to be.
Side for addressing this?
Well, I mean, look, there are three big stories today, two that we're talking about, the Manafort and Cohen guilty pleas and convictions. But the third story is this horrific story out of Iowa of this young girl being killed by an illegal immigrant. And to most Americans, and certainly to the Trump base, the issue of Donald Trump standing up and actually trying to do something about these types of situations is much more personal to them than, you know, a potential campaign violation of a smarmy attorney with, you know, a sort of a not particularly attractive whole situation that, you know, with a porn star. I mean, that those things have already sort of been discounted in the eyes of the American public. And these other things that are much more real to people, right, I think are going to be more persuasive.
You don't think, I mean, just the moral character. I mean, I know if you're talking about the Trump base, they're obviously very firm supporters of the president. But we're talking about a man who's now repeatedly lied to the American people, whose surrogates have repeatedly lied about this or been lied to by him, and who has surrounded himself with people who are now convicted crooks and also self-professed crooks, and some of whom are now pointing, or at least one, his former lawyer, who's now pointing the finger at his former client, saying he was a crook too.
Well,
I mean, I know the base may not care,
okay,
but just fair-minded people, don't you think you're selling them short to say they just don't care about that?
No, I'm not saying they don't care. I said I think they care more about other things. And number one, I mean, to say he surrounded himself with convicted criminals, I mean, they were not convicted criminals when he surrounded himself with them. So
they had been, because they had already broken the law.
But they weren't convicted. I mean, so
okay,
the idea that
criminals.
The idea that he knew that they were criminals.
Logic. You know, listen.
Logic.
Just think about this for a moment, right? You're with a bunch of guys. You pull up, let's say, in front of a bank. You run into the bank. You rob the bank. None of these guys are convicted criminals that you're with yet, right? I mean, we don't even know if they're going to get caught.
You have no idea.
Are you responsible for them going around and saying, look at all the money I got. Look at the new car I got. No, that's on them.
You know what's incredible about that, though, is like, first, of course, he goes to the xenophobia and the racism that drives the Trump and Republican vote. But what's funny is that even by those twisted standards, like, Trump doesn't care, right? Like, the idea that Trump's there, like, I don't have time to worry about myself because innocent white girls are getting killed by immigrants. Like, that's the one thing I will give Trump. I am sure that he's not worrying about what happened in Iowa if he's anxious about what happened to Manafort and Cohen.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No,
like, that's what's kind of funny, the double play of it, is like the real, like, fascist thug Santorum's like, remember the racism. And you know Trump's at home like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Well, it's pretty spectacular that Santorum is saying, like, look, no matter what Donald Trump does, it is always going to be more important that there are brown people being let into this country. And to his base. I mean, that's basically it.
In a political sense, that's true, Rick. But if there's exposure vis-a-vis me, that's not true.
All right. And so this conversation goes on. Rick Santorum has had to basically have Anderson Cooper say, like, but okay, you're telling me that the Trump base doesn't care. But he says, what does he say, fair-minded people? Really what he's just saying is, like, normal people care, though, right? Like, non-paid shills and people who are normal care. But then he goes on and brings in a couple other sort of incredulous guests to watch Rick Santorum. I think they put it in, I think they do this where they put Anderson Cooper in one slot and then have the three other smaller windows so that you can sort of compare and watch how Rick Santorum's embarrassing
it's
himself.
It's a slight editorial.
Exactly. Like, let's get some reaction shots every time Santorum opens his mouth.
Number one, General Flynn was you know, it's not
freeze
a smarmy
it.
Character.
Look at Tubin's face. It's Rick Santorum tries to talk. All right, go back.
He just said Flynn's not a smarmy character.
Yes, they've moved on to the other people now who have been have either pled guilty or been indicted.
And just to remind, like, the post-military gig job, and setting aside the crimes that he probably committed in the military, was let's pitch a deck to people connected to the Turkish government to kidnap a cleric in Pennsylvania and ship him back where he will, like, almost certainly be tortured. Well, not a smarmy guy.
Well, wait a second. To be fair, Flynn did that because he did not appreciate the corporate education reform that Gulen was imposing through his charter schools.
Well, then so, Santorum would say he's a smarmy guy if that was true.
Right, exactly. Right. Here is, all right, so let's watch this.
Number one, General Flynn was, you know, it's not a smarmy character. I mean, General Flynn served this country, you know, terrifically as a military officer.
Right, but he did lie to federal investigators.
He made a mistake and he committed a crime and he took the hit for it. But to suggest that that's a bad guy to surround yourself with, I think, is overstating the case. Paul Manafort has been employed by Republicans all over the map for a long, long time before Donald Trump.
Hold on for 1 second. I think Santorum may be on to something. He's trying to say, to exculpate somehow Donald Trump because Manafort's been hanging around. You say he's slimy, but he's been working with Republicans for years. Maybe we need to revisit some things.
He worked lot of parishes for the Catholic Church.
Exactly.
No one who speaks German could be an evil man.
Exactly.
Speaks German.
That's a bad guy to surround yourself with, I think, is overstating the case. Paul Manafort has been employed by Republicans all over the map for a long, long time before Donald Trump. Agreed. I mean, he's done some bad things.
He did amazing, you know, stuff in Afghanistan and in his military career. But if you're leading chants of lock her up, and then you're the one who actually gets locked up, you're a hypocrite.
Pause it. You know what? You also, it's probably more relevant is that you're a criminal.
Yeah, way to really zero in on the point there, Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper's like, hey, look, if he didn't say anything about locking her up, he could absolutely do illegal contracts for foreign governments and lie to federal investigators about it. But when you do that chant, you, my friend, become a hypocrite.
Aren't you worried about what Vic Berger's going to do with that foot?
Yeah. Vic Berger's going to do a mashup, and you're not going to like how
you
look.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just impressed Anderson Cooper can keep a straight face, knowing what I know he thinks about every time he hears the word Santorum.
Of course. You know, the bottom line is I think Cooper gets paid the big bucks literally just to not laugh out loud at half of this stuff.
Look, General Flynn. Look, I don't know if you're a hypocrite. I mean,
would you call it?
He made a mistake. Well, I mean, I think he
victim of karma.
You can tell Cooper right there is trying not to laugh.
Doing something that he himself actually agrees with. I think General Flynn, you know, would tell you
he
that
he was representing Turkey without acknowledging it and writing op-eds about it. And pretending not saying it. I mean, he's a hypocrite.
Yeah, all I would say is I think it's a little bit more complex than that. But having said all that, you know,
I love the fact that they're arguing over this guy who has pled to criminal charges, whether he's a hypocrite or not.
I love that. It's like John Gotti said he wasn't the head of the Gambino family. He's a hypocrite.
Total hypocrite.
Pablo Escobar said he was there to help the poor of Colombia and was not involved in narco trafficking. Turns out he is. Therefore, he's a hypocrite.
You've heard these tapes of him talking about killing someone, and he swears. He's rude. Totally inappropriate.
He has terrible
with his language
manners on the phone.
You know, you joke, but that is what the takeaway from the Nixon tapes were. Is think of all the times it said a expletive deleted.
Right, exactly. So rude.
Why does he have to say that you're going to wipe away those quote effing villages in Laos? Why don't you just wipe away and mass murder the people in Laos? I don't see the need for profanity.
Is there more? Let's just.
Having said all that, you have to look at the president and the people he hired at the time he hired them were not, other than my backbone, who I will concede to you is one of those smarmy characters. But
Paul Manafort
has
been a smarmy character for it seems like if not decades, at least years. I mean, given what he has now been convicted of.
Yeah. If not decades, at least years. And he's been smarmy. I mean, like, you know, the measuring the smarminess aside, there is a decent point that Anderson Cooper was making in that, which is, why were they allowed to get away with this stuff for so long? Like, there is something really problematic in society that I don't think is going to get addressed here, ultimately, which is that there are the cops are just not on the beat when it comes to this type of stuff. And that is why they are all of these guys. We look at the sort of the hubris and the arrogance involved in all of this. And it's because they never had to account. There was no accountability for these people. That's why there's no doubt that you could go in and convict the Trump and his family of any number one of criminal violations, because they operated in their mind with impunity.
And there's also very little doubt that if Manafort didn't seek out the position which Trump, which he did to generate new business opportunities, because some of his client base was drying up with things that were happening in Ukraine and he didn't have clients anymore in other places in the world, that he almost certainly would have gotten away with all this stuff and not faced charges.
Absolutely.
Like, he was slightly on their radar.
Well, this
but
is...
people do this stuff all the time, and he wouldn't have gotten any consequences if he didn't make it so blatant and flagrant.
I think that's why they... I mean, that is supposedly... Flynn is on... is reported to have said that. Yep. Like, someone was like, aren't you worried about this deal? It's only a problem if we win.
Right.
All right.
Ted!
We're
going to win.
We're going to take a break, head into the...
You're going to go to jail.
Fun half in a moment. I want to remind folks, this program is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's affordable, private online counseling. You get unlimited access to a licensed, trained, fully accredited therapist. Perfect for you. You can do it on your phone, on your computer. We've gotten some very good feedback from folks. A bunch of you have tried this out. They're LGBT friendly. They're great for couples counseling. Anything else you're going through in life right now, all you need to do is go to betterhelp.com/majority. You fill out a questionnaire. They match you with a counselor who's perfect for you. You can start counseling today. It's less expensive than in-person counseling. If you have trouble affording it, they have a financial aid package for you. But these are all licensed professionals, and you're always connected. You have unlimited access, which means you can talk to them every day if you want. If you get hooked up with a counselor after a while, you feel like this is not working out, you can switch to a different counselor. There's a whole host of reasons why this is effective and more appropriate for people than in person. You may travel a lot. You may not have the money to go into see a therapist. Maybe you're not comfortable sitting. Maybe it's the first time you've ever been to therapy, and this is a great way to start and feel more comfortable with it, which, so it's always surprising to me when people say, like, no, I've never been to a therapist. I'm like, maybe it's just that the people I've been around my whole life are just not well adjusted in some fashion. But
well, therapy isn't just about what's wrong. It could also be about what's right.
Well, that's the thing is that, I think a lot of times it's a good thing to do, you don't have to have acute issues to get some real benefit out of it.
Let it gestate.
You can sign up right now and save on quality professional therapy by going to betterhelp.com/majority. That's betterhelp.com/majority. Don't forget, you can support this program by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. Jointhemajorityreport.com for just a couple of dimes a day. Become a member and make this free show possible as a way of saying thank you. We give you extra content every day. We're going to be going on vacation next week. We have pre-records of all new content. Although we have decided in a sort of a late audible to play a best of on next Friday, because it's too much fun. We will let you know what that is next Friday. But in the meantime, this is my last live show. I pre-record tomorrow. Michael will be here doing the fun half, and then he'll be hosting on Friday. All next week, we will have pre-recorded interviews, some really interesting stuff. One by an author who wrote a book on mesmerism. You know, I thought it's you know what it's named after, right?
A mesmer, a guy, something.
Mesmer. Yeah, by a guy. I always thought it was. I didn't realize that.
It's like the Jordan Peterson of the 19th century.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. You know,
did he cry to induct?
In 100 years, people are going to be talking like, "Oh, well, that's you're being Petersonized."
You're goddamn right, they will. They need to be really precise.
And it really is an interesting explanation of the relationship that Americans have with Donald Trump, particularly his supporters. One on radical environmentalism and talking about Thoreau and cartography and how we understand the land and our relationship to it. Interview about international neoliberalism. We have an interview about a fascinating piece of history that's been sort of lost, of tens of thousands of free black folk, former slaves, who pre-Civil War were living in we're living in what was then the Northwest Territory and now is like Ohio. But also, when racism is justified today, it often comes in the guise of the breakdown of the black family or a culture that is problematic. Racism at this time was exercised for the opposite reason: too much success. So really interesting bit of history that has been lost. So all of this will be next week. In the meantime, last night, I've just heard, was one of the best The Michael Brooks shows in really almost a year.
I was shocked by Rachel Maddow's performance. It was incredible. It was very, it was a sort of a major get. And she really sort of cut loose.
She even shuffled the papers
for us. She shuffled the papers for us. She has a lot of the same fixations that you have, which was interesting.
Oh.
Some of the same axes to grind. And no, it was a lot of fun, Samantha. We did. it was a lot of fun. No, I think
that's the way. Like, I know, I'm going to stop joking and not call you Rachel anymore, Samantha.
Yeah. But no, seriously, it was a lot of fun. Samantha, boom. No, it was great. Let's see. So we went over in the beginning. I do want to talk. We did a sort of deep dive on Georgia voter suppression and also black radicalism in the South and future Democratic Party. And then, there was a lot of other segments as there usually are. And then Sam came on and in the post game, I mean, we really did a history of essentially through clips of these three main eras that you've been, battling austerity and homophobia and the Iraq invasion. And now we're in the Trump era. So it was great. On Friday, there's going to be a live stream on the Michael Brooks Show YouTube channel at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So people can check it out. And obviously subscribe there because we have all of our clips up there. And then we're going to do one because we aren't going to have any show next week. And that's just going to be a kind of fun, open show. We've got good clips. We'll take calls. And, of course, illicit histories and everything are coming at you for patrons all through next week. And your anniversary. Thanks, everybody. Patreon.com/TMBS. And thank you, Sam. That was a lot of fun.
We had fun last night. And, Jamie, this week's Antifada.
Yes. Well, we've still got our episode on Posadism up from last week. We've got our bonus called Real Posadist Hours. And we just recorded a new episode that'll probably drop later today with Army Resister Spencer Rapone. in which we talk about his own personal story, how he got into and then out of the army. We talk about the Carnation Revolution, which was a really inspiring revolution to leftists everywhere for the fact that it was almost totally nonviolent. And we talk about the potential for radicalization and class consciousness within our quote unquote all volunteer military here. And yeah, kind of ask him his opinion on the chances of revolution in the Imperial Corps. So check it out. We've got a YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheAntifada. You can listen on Patreon, patreon.com/TheAntifada, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. We're doing it all.
There you go. And
it's very exciting.
And Matt?
Yep, Literary Hangover. We're just wrapping up Nathaniel Hawthorne. We're going to be doing the Scarlet Letter episode, but you can prepare for that and get all the sort of context you need with the Custom House we released over the weekend here.
All right, folks, going to take a quick break. Head into the fun half, 646-257-3920. Got a lot more sound to get to, your phone calls, your IMs. Be right back.
Damn, we owe our listeners.
Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. You're nervous, you're a little bit upset, you're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude.
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 You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
Some good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now listen to me. 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 847-906-501-457. 2, 38, 56, 27, 1 half, 5 eighths, 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd.
Don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left-wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy.
Dance, dance, dance.
Ooh.
Grandpa. I had my first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you, you fucking liberal elite. I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, gonna take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jabber.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already.
Good.
Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. You guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
This guy might be a Nazi.
Agree.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook. Throw our hands up.
Ooh.
Wow.
But Sam, I gotta get off.
No worries. I want to just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me...
Hey, shut up!
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.